I think for a team like the Warriors, been to four straight finals, they probably were thinking, all right, Cousins coming back in late January. That'll be perfect. We've got to cruise till then, and then we'll get it together.
And DeMarcus Cousins, of course, slated to come back on Friday in Los Angeles, so 6 days away. However, the Warriors still have three games to play between now and then. They're going to be headed to Dallas from Oakland here coming up in a couple of hours. They're going to practice in Dallas. They'll take on the Mavericks tomorrow in a game you can hear right here on 95.7 The Game. That's a 4 o'clock tip-off here locally. And then they go to Denver, come back and play the Pelicans. That's Tuesday, Wednesday for the back-to-back. Head down to L.A. on Thursday, and then they begin what will wind up being a 2-week road trip in Los Angeles that'll end in Indiana late in the month, and they'll get DeMarcus Cousins back to begin that road trip in L.A. on Friday night.
And he'll be in the starting lineup, and all eyes will be on him. And it's going to be fun. It really is. I think the one thing that I'm realizing on some level, JD, is DeMarcus Cousins hasn't played in a while. And I think because he hasn't played in a while, you really forget how good this guy is. I mean, this guy is really, really talented. And I don't think fitting in is going to be the problem. I shouldn't say that. I don't think there's anything about his game that's going to prevent him from fitting in. But I just think the idea of throwing another star onto this team, it's going to be hard to figure out how to play and what's the best way to play and how do you get a bucket at critical times and all those kind of things. That's going to be the fun part of this. And there's going to be bumps, but there's also going to be, I got to believe, there's going to be nights where this team's going to look unbeatable.
Do you think there's going to be a bigger issue with the basketball side or the non-basketball
basketball
side?
Definitely basketball. I'm not worried about Cousins' demeanor or his attitude or his attitude problem. That's not what I'm worried about. Although, I guess if he doesn't play in crunch time and he starts to get affected by that, then yes, that would be quote-unquote his attitude. But that's not unique from what any player would probably be feeling in his situation.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors This Week. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy was on this week, and he said he talked about shot distribution because basically Curry, Durant, and Clay average, let's say, 19 shots a game. Well, let's say DeMarcus Cousins comes back and he's going to take some shots. So those guys are all going to have to come down a little bit, let's just say. And what Tim Roy said was, you know, the great thing about the Warriors is they have good chemistry. And if on one night Curry only takes 11 shots and they win, he's going to be fine with it. And you know what? Tim's absolutely right. There are going to be nights when somebody doesn't score, somebody doesn't take a lot of shots, where he's going to win. It's not going to matter. The question is, what happens if they don't win? And what happens if
look at the final 6 minutes of that game.
Exactly. What happens in the last 90 seconds when the Warriors go, you know, 1 for 6 from the field, their bucket is a Cousins post up, but they have 2 Durant missed threes and a Curry missed 3 or something like that. And then you start thinking, maybe they should have gone to Cousins more. Maybe they shouldn't go to Cousins.
Klay Thompson didn't touch the ball once.
Exactly.
Now, those are all the things that
exactly
may pop up.
I think they're going to pop up. Okay, last possession. It's a hypothetical. Last possession of the game. What are you
going to
do?
To me, you're going to Durant, because that history says that they're going to Durant. But you have options.
You do have options. But
you better pick the right option.
Right,
otherwise,
on the right night,
you're going to get criticized for not going to the other option.
And see, this is kind of what I mean about today's NBA. Yes, the Warriors have options. Is having options better in the last 3 minutes of a game than what Houston has? I'm serious. I mean, Houston knows exactly what they're going to do. Every possession that counts. Well, so do we, but it kind of works. And so that's the one thing I'm always a believer. You probably get sick of hearing it. I'm a believer in a pecking order where you got to kind of know what you're going to do late in games. And the Warriors are going to have to figure that out, and they probably will to some degree. And the other thing we talked about, too, is they might not figure it out perfectly, and they still might win it.
Well, what do you think the perfect pecking order is?
I definitely think there's something to Durant in the half court. I really do.
What should it be, I guess?
I think it's Durant. You got to go to Durant. Because, I mean, if you're not going to run your open offense, which you can't really, who do you want the ball to end up with? I think the answer's got to be Durant, somewhere in the mid-post. Because if it's Curry, let's say, at the top of the circle, I'm not sure. Bottom line is I think Kevin Durant at his best is a little more unguardable than Steph Curry at his best. Because Durant's got a shot that can't be touched. But they might find throwing it down to Cousins late in a game might be the way to go. I mean, if they only need two, they only need a bucket, I might throw it down to Cousins to get us started. And if he can go to work, get us the bucket, and we'll play defense. That's one thing I think. You know, the other, it's so funny. There's so much. This is why it's going to be great, JD. Here's one thing I've heard, and this is what I want to talk to you about. We can do it now or after the break. People say, well, Cousins is going to be the low post. Man, they're going to throw it to Cousins. He's going to get double teamed. The Warriors are going to get up.
Yeah, they're not going to.
Why would you double team DeMarcus Cousins at this point?
Well, and I also don't think they're just going to dump it to him down in the
post.
No,
I don't either. I don't either.
Because it takes a while to set that up. That's another thing. Like, if you're going to dump it down to Cousins in the post, that means you're inherently going to play slower,
right,
which I don't think is something that the Warriors want to do. And I also think, you know, Steve Kerr has mentioned a couple of different times or alluded to in a roundabout way the fact that, you know, almost Cousins is going to be playing free throw line to free throw line in a lot of ways, just in terms of he's a slower player than the other players that they have. And he's such a good high post player. So, you know, I don't think the Warriors are going to be waiting around for Cousins to be posting his man up to dump it to him. Now, yeah, I think there's going to be advantages he'll have in transition at times, and there'll be mismatches in the half-court offense and all those things. But I actually think you're going to see DeMarcus Cousins play a lot more high post than low post with this team, just given the nature of the way the center position works.
I would agree with that. And the way the center position's working kind of all over the league. I think you're right there.
You're going to be getting a lot of calls, Steiny, with fans that are going to be saying, get him down on the block.
I mean, they got to put him down.
Why is he high so much?
They got to put him down there a little bit, if for no other reason than to give the Warriors some diversity. The one thing I heard, one of the things I've heard a lot of people are worried about is, can he keep up? Can he keep up? Because the Warriors get up and down. And this is where the foul line, does he need to keep up? I mean, the Showtime Lakers were one of the most fast-breaking team in the history of basketball up until that point, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was their center. He got the rebound. He threw it to Magic Johnson. Magic led the break. They either scored or they didn't, and when they didn't, what did they do? They waited for the big fella, and he was late coming down because that's what you want.
And that was the term that Kerr used specifically, was a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be the trailer.
Basically, what's going to happen is the Warriors are going to try to fast break. Cousins will become the trailer for either a trail three, or at least to swing the ball around, or he'll pause there for a second, and then he'll go walk down to the low post. But I think it's going to give the Warriors another dimension. It really is.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Now that we know when DeMarcus Cousins is coming back, what are you most excited about as far as his return? And what are you most concerned about as far as his return to the Golden State Warriors, which is slated for next Friday, the 18th, in Los Angeles? We got a great show for you with Tim Roy, Tim Bontemps, and Adonald Foyle is also going to join us between now and 1 o'clock. It's Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
It was a battle, you know, between myself, training staff, the guys at the top. So eventually we all got on the same page and, you know, we settled for that day.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
You need me to run that back for you, Steiny? Let me run that back for you, DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah.
This DeMarcus Cousins Thursday at practice, and the question was about how they decided on January 18th as a return date.
It was a battle, you know, between myself, training staff, the guys at the top. So eventually we all got on the same page, and we settled for that date.
Settle for that date, January 18th. And that's consistent with a lot of what we'd heard individually and what had also been reported.
Well, you know what else is funny, too, JD, is the way it played out was the way people said it may play out back in July with, well Cousins, you know, he's going to have to push it. He's going to want to push to get back, and the Warriors are going to need to be cautious, and Cousins has to go out and prove he can play to make his money for next season. And you could see a little bit of a push-pull, and clearly there was. Now, I'm not saying it was acrimonious or anything, but it played out exactly as we thought it would. Cousins probably wanted to play 3-4 weeks ago, it sounds like, and the Warriors maybe were thinking, how about in about 3 or 4 weeks? And they settled on January 18th.
I just keep in mind what I had said from July. It'd probably be sometime in January.
Yeah.
Might be January 3rd, might be January 30th. You might add them up and divide by two and be pretty close.
And to me now, it's not when he comes back or when he was going to come back is secondary to how they're going to use him and what's his role going to be. So that's really the big thing. Warriors have essentially 40 games. 36, 38 games to figure out how to use him. It's going to be fun. I mean, it's just, you know what? It's a nice spice thrown into the dish for everybody, for the Warriors, for the media, for their front office, for the fans, for sure. It just gives you another something to look at during the next 3 or 4 months when we all know the Warriors are going to go to the playoffs.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. What are you most excited about with DeMarcus Cousins being added to this squad in the next 6 days? And what maybe is your biggest concern about Cousins coming aboard with what the Warriors have already established? Let's start with Steve in Oakland on 95.7 The Game. Steve, you get us tipped off here. Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Great.
I think you guys hit on it a little earlier when you made the reference to the Lakers, and you know I'm sure Kerr has seen this when he was in Chicago, right? I mean, if he's going to be playing high post, if DeMarcus is playing high post and he's playing, you know, free throw line to free throw line, that plays right into that fast break mentality. I mean, they race down, they take a quick three and miss it. He's the trailer to get that rebound. And now he can either play post with that rebound or he can shoot a three himself. I mean, the fact that he's not a traditional center who's going to be either in the post or passing the ball, I think back to the first ring with Bogut, when he was at the top of the key, you knew he was going to pass that ball off. They've got to guard him out there. So they've got so many things they can do with the ball now with him on the post or at the top of the key. It changes things because you're not worried about Looney shooting a three. But DeMarcus, man, they're going to have to watch that very closely. It'll be interesting to see once he gets going. It's going to be really dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to look for is if Cousins is taking that three instead of Draymond. I mean, that's the one thing I was thinking the other day is, on the one hand, man, how many threes do you want Cousins to take? Because he's playing with Curry and Clay. But then I'm thinking, well, if he takes every three that Draymond takes, I'll take that because he's a better three-point shooter than Draymond. So maybe it'll play out that way. You know, the other thing that could also do is, you know, Cousins and Draymond, if they're going to play the 5-4, the 4-5, it's interchangeable. Draymond can play out high. Cousins can go low and vice versa. So there's a ton of versatility on this team. They just got to figure out the best way to play.
And DeMarcus Cousins is the kind of guy out at the top. He can knock down 3-4 of those in a row, honestly. I mean, he can get as hot as anybody from out there, especially for a big man. So if that part of his game is rolling, I mean, that's a part of his game where maybe the athleticism and the injury doesn't necessarily affect him as much as it might in other areas.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, there's a difference between being skilled and being athletic. Injury shouldn't affect your skill level.
And he's highly skilled.
Right. And he's more skilled than he is athletic.
Correct.
So from that point of view, the injury isn't going to diminish his skills. And the athleticism, well, he's not Dominique Wilkins. So it shouldn't affect that part of it too much. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how if he trusts it and if he's moving okay and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you've brought this up on a number of occasions. Cousins is so talented that if he wants to make it work and the Warriors want to make it work, it should be able to work.
Charlie in New York. Charlie, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Good.
What I'm excited about with Boogie appearing is, Matt, you've said it a number of times on your show during the week, the teams aren't afraid of the Warriors anymore. And if you look at the roster, other than Draymond, they're a relatively soft team. So I liken it to the fact that he's like, well, the Warriors are bringing their big, mean brother back to play with them. And I'm excited to see them instill some fear into the opposing teams again, this unknown quantity. I'm excited by the fact that he's going to be a tough guy on the court. What I'm worried about is obviously, you know, the obvious is Achilles. If I'm an opposing team, I'm going to go at him. Will he in, 10, 15 games realize that, you know, God forbid, have to shut it down, that things aren't going as well? So, I have a question, and I'll listen to the answer off the phone. If you had a choice at this point, and Boogie comes back and he's playing at 60%, 70%, with that final roster spot, would you go out and get a Lopez as a backup, or would you then now go look for a wing player or maybe even a shooting guard off the bench? Anyway, that's it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. I think that's what the Warriors are kind of waiting on. They're waiting to see if Cousins – look, if Cousins can give them 20, 25 – that really diminishes the need for a center. But they have to kind of wait to see, don't they?
They do have to wait to see, but to me it's you don't need a Robin Lopez if you're going to have DeMarcus Cousins able to play. The priority and the wish list would be wing player first, big man in an emergency. So yeah, you got to play it out and you got to see if Cousins, you know, can play, like you said, 20 to 25 minutes and be effective and maybe work his way up to 30 minutes
right.
on some nights. If there's some kind of setback or he's got to shut it down again or, oh, we got to give him another month, we got to give him a month, you know, to just make sure he's ready. Okay, then maybe you need a big man
right.
just to have enough bigs to get you through the remainder of the regular season. Ideally, though, the thing that I keep coming back to is you got to have somebody on your roster that is insurance for Iguodala and Livingston in the playoffs if one of those guys can't play. And I just don't think Alphonso McKinney is a no-brainer as far as, you know, being that guy.
I would agree with
or
that.
Or McKinney / Quinn Cook or, you know, whoever.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. I would also say don't forget that during the playoffs, the starters play a little bit more. So now you start bumping Curry and Clay from 35 to 38, 39, and that means that you get to play the bench less, which is probably something you want to do. It's going to be, you know, nobody knows what to expect. And really, it's interesting because if Cousins is pretty good, well, the sky's the limit then for this team. But if Cousins isn't good, and I do think it's – listen, I don't want to worry anybody, but I think it's within the realm of possibility Cousins comes back and says, you know what, this isn't feeling the way it used to feel. And maybe – all I'm saying is this. If you're Bob Myers, don't you have to be careful enough to lay out a plan in your mind – if Cousins can't play.
Yeah.
Even if he's coming back next week. And then I think we're talking about a Robin Lopez, something like that. But I don't think the Warriors are there just quite yet.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors This Week with John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz here on 95.7 The Game. More of your phone calls coming up as we discuss DeMarcus Cousins' return, scheduled for Friday the 18th, 6 days away in Los Angeles.
Let me ask you this. When you talk about concern level, et cetera, are you at all worried about kind of the volatility of the team when Cousins comes back? Cousins, Durant, and Draymond Green are all perennial leaders in technical fouls. They're always at the top, all three of them, over the past several years. Now, We Believe had a little bit of that volatility, and it was pretty fun. But I do think there's something there with Draymond and Cousins, just their sheer emotion. I think the Warriors are going to have to pay attention to keeping their poise at times. I really do.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be times where the volatility of all three will feed each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think there'll be maybe a lack of control on some nights. The key, though, to me will be just understanding, if you're the Warriors, that, look, you're the most talented team. Forget about if you don't think you're getting this call or that call. Don't let that get you either out of a game because you get kicked out of the game, or take you out of playing the way that you need to play. Because if you're playing the right way and you're playing buttoned up, you're going to be better than everybody else in the long run anyway. So, but I do see maybe not having it be an issue in the locker room as far as...
No, that's not what I mean.
I think on an individual game basis, yeah, you're going to have Cousins. I think what you're going to have is you're going to have Cousins sticking up for Draymond, and Draymond sticking up for Cousins, and Cousins sticking up for Durant, and maybe Durant trying to stick up for Cousins. And I think you're going to see that dynamic
in play. Or maybe Cousins not sticking up for Draymond. Who knows? I just... The other thing I was thinking, too, is when do you get frustrated on a basketball floor? When you can't do things that you know you can do. And so injured players, or players that are struggling to recapture greatness or the level of play they used to be at, that can be frustrating. In fact, I think that may have in some way been in the mix with Draymond. I don't think Draymond's completely healthy. And so I don't think Draymond's obviously shooting the ball well. And I don't think he's playing as well as he expects himself to play. And I think that made him, or that's making him, just a little more frustrated as a player. That's what happens. And now you have Cousins coming back, and if he's just can't do what he can, what he's done in the past, that's going to be tough to deal with for him. Can you imagine if he comes back, maybe doesn't have it going, and we start talking about, should we shut him down? Maybe just come back next year. Not necessarily even for the Warriors.
Boy.
I mean, that would be really difficult to deal with if you were Cousins. And I can't believe he would want to deal with that. Obviously.
No, and again, that's in line with my thought that you got to give it a significant amount of time to play out.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I've said that as far as, okay, of course he's going to be in the starting lineup. Steve Kerr reiterated that this week, but he's been consistent since July with that message that Cousins would start once he returns. Now, will he finish? How well does he fit with the other four All-Stars and that group? How does he fit with the bench group? Does his presence force Steve Kerr to alter other areas of the team to try and accommodate fit? Those are the kinds of things that you're going to have to keep an eye on consistently. And if those things go awry to a point where you either can't play him as much, or in the specific scenarios that maybe he wants to be playing in, could become an issue and something that has to be dealt with. But the way I look at it still is you're going to, and this is why it's nice to have 40 regular season games left, although it'll be, 37 by the time he comes back on Friday. You've got some room to play with making sure you know what works versus what doesn't. And making sure that you almost beat everybody over the head with knowing what works and what doesn't.
Right. I think you're right. I think,
like, you're going to need a ton of evidence. If you're going to tell DeMarcus Cousins, hey, you know what, it's best on this night or that night.
Oh, I got you.
For you to not finish, or boy, this isn't clicking with this group or whatever. Like, you're going to need a lot of evidence to where, if you're Steve Kerr, it becomes maybe an easier conversation to have. If it gets to that point. That's one scenario.
Yeah. Should I tell you a crazy thought I had last night?
Sure.
Because I believe in balance on a team. And by the way, 415, nobody's worried about Cousins. We're talking about the strengths and the possible challenges. People think we're worried about Cousins. Now, this is a great issue to have to deal with if you're the Warriors. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean it's going to be seamless. All right, you ready to throw a hot take out there? Throw a hot take?
Let's do it.
Bring Draymond off the bench.
Come on. And start who?
Looney.
No.
Start Looney at four.
No.
Why?
No.
Why? If Cousins is good.
Because Looney's your backup five.
No, Draymond's your backup 4-5 now. You imagine that?
I don't see that.
You know, I don't see it happening either. But would you at least give me this? In a vacuum, it might not be a bad idea. In a vacuum.
I don't love it. I'm a steal from Guru. I don't like that.
They don't have a lot of impact off the bench. Yeah, I don't want to get sidetracked into this because it's probably ridiculous. I was just thinking, you know, they got
888-957-9570. Steiny wants to bring Draymond Green off the bench. Would you do it? Your thoughts? Call in now.
Obviously, Draymond's demeanor has to play into that. I'm just saying.
I don't think Draymond would actually care it made basketball sense.
No, yes, he would.
But I just don't think it makes basketball sense.
See, I think it makes basketball sense, but I don't think he can do it because Draymond won't allow it. Now, I'm not saying it makes basketball sense they should do it. I'm just saying if the next 40 games is about experimenting and figuring out what's best, I mean, those second units need playmakers of the Warriors. And it probably wouldn't even affect his minutes that much. But here's the thing about Draymond is, you know, the ultimate team guy. Well, that would sure put him to the test. He's the ultimate team guy. How come you don't like it?
I just don't think it makes basketball sense.
Why?
Because I look at Cousins being in. Cousins to me is a no-brainer to start at the five, and then you've got your prototypical one, your prototypical two, three, four, five, and now starting Cousins moves Looney to the bench. You put Looney in that lineup as the second big man in. He gets to play that final, let's say, 5-6 minutes of the first and third quarters. And it just sets everything up. I just think there's no need to do it. You can start to sub Draymond and Klay Thompson out late in the first quarter. You can bring them back to start the second quarter. You can rid yourself of the Curry problem of taking him out and then bringing him back at the top of the second quarter. And you can anchor that unit at the beginning of the second and fourth quarter now with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and DeMarcus Cousins, with maybe a Livingston and an Iguodala, a couple of smart players, a couple of passers. You fit in Jarebko where you can. You fit in McKinney when you can, if you need him, and you just go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to die on that hill, as people say. I will say this. The NBA's got a long history of teams that don't start their five best players.
No doubt.
And the other thing is, if you bring a guy in off the bench, you can manipulate it and in an easy way that player's in the last 6 minutes during crunch time. I mean, I'm just, like I said, it was a whim that I thought of it would be a little bit different if Draymond took more shots. I think Draymond's going to turn into Rodman right now. I don't think he's going to shoot hardly at all anymore. I really do.
He already kind of is.
Yeah, I know. What, he didn't have a bucket last night?
Did not.
Yeah, 0 for 1.
And Steve Kerr said it was one of the best games you can have for a guy that Doesn't make a
basket. Why do you think he's saying that? Let's cut through the BS. He's saying that so that...
propping him up.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't believe for a minute he thinks that was one of the greatest games played without a bucket.
Maybe. Keeping him part of what's going on.
Yeah.
Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Warriors have the league's second-ranked defense when Draymond plays. That doesn't work if he's coming off the bench.
Well, okay, so maybe they'll drop to fifth defense when Draymond's off the floor, but the bench unit will be better defensively.
707, relating it to Tim Lincecum of the Giants in 2012.
Oh, he likes it.
It's such a change-up. Starter, he came in to bridge the closer. Lincecum, that's a little overblown. Lincecum was in the bullpen because he wasn't good enough to start in 2012. That's a little bit different. And, yeah, did he help him in the middle of some games? I mean, I guess. But, really, he was banished to the bullpen in 2012 because they had four starters that were pitching at a higher level, including, at that point, Barry Zito.
But the one thing I always liked about Lincecum was he was ready, willing, and able to go into the bullpen.
Absolutely.
Whereas it was always a problem for Zito because of his routine.
Right.
Come on. You know what I'm saying?
But that, I mean, again, that's a way where the selflessness worked out for Lincecum, you know, worked out because
absolutely.
It allowed everything else to happen.
Yeah. You know what it all
if he's the kind of guy you can't take out,
right?
And you just got to keep starting him. How many teams lose playoff games because of that?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what.
Not to do the baseball show, but go ahead.
No, we'll do the baseball show. We got a minute or two before break. Well, the other thing is what Lincecum did that year, it kind of added to his lore. I mean, it was the finishing touch on his incredible run with the Giants that even that last year he can say I was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And he was able to do it.
888.
I don't necessarily believe this from the 408. Draymond shooting is like Shaq's free throws. He'll make them when they count. I don't know.
Might make a couple.
I don't know. And as I always say, Draymond Green is never going to be able to make enough threes where they're not going to disrespect him.
Well, compared to the other talent and skills
exactly.
that the Warriors have, that's
exactly.
100%.
And that's kind of what bothers me so much is when he makes a three and he starts yelling at the opposing bench. I mean, Draymond's a smart player. He'd leave himself open, too.
Yes, he would.
If he were the coach of the other team.
Yes, he would.
So, Draymond will make his shots, according to the 408, when he needs to. Warriors shouldn't be dependent on him scoring anyway. No, you're right about that, 408, and they're not dependent on his scoring, but they're a hell of a lot better when that three-point shot of his is respected. But, no, they don't need his scoring, although it looked like they needed a little more than normal, you know, the last three or four weeks when they're getting 28, 28, and 28 from the big three and nobody else is contributing.
Well, yeah, you don't need his scoring until one of the other three or two of the other three have an off night. And then you say, well, Draymond, we need more than two from you.
Yeah.
At least that's what the fans do. We got a lot of phone calls. And
you think Dennis Eckersley is a better example?
Of?
Starter going to the bullpen. Starter going to reliever. I'm sorry, starter go to the bench.
Dennis Eckersley was really good at both, though.
Yeah, I know he was. He was a really good starter.
And I don't think, that's a little before my time, that switch, as far as him going from starter to the pen. But, I don't think he was put in the bullpen because he stunk. Like,
no,
Lincecum
no, no.
was,
yeah, right.
like, Lincecum, like, I know it's San Francisco and it's revisionist history and he's a legend in San Francisco, but Tim Lincecum was put in the bullpen in 2012 because he stunk. Not because he was going to be. Now, he turned himself into a weapon, I guess, although he was mainly pitching in games that didn't matter, games that they were behind.
Right.
I just, again, I, you know, revisionist history.
You're right.
I know they won, and, you know, Zito had a bigger impact in that 2012 in the playoffs. He did. He won. He did. He won an elimination game. No.
He didn't win anything.
He won an elimination game. He won game one of the World Series.
Yes, he's got to win. Come on, Zito.
I'm just saying, he was more impactful than Lincecum in 12 in the playoffs. Anyway, we digress. 888-957-9570. David, Gene, we got a bunch of calls coming up. I didn't want to give shortchange anybody. We'll get to all of you coming back here, 95.7 The Game.
I see a lot of things that I can help with, and a lot of areas that I fit right away in. And it's also some areas that I have to work my way towards being able to be a part of. It's a lot of things I've seen.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Warriors This Week rolling along here. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz on a Saturday, 888-957-9570.
Got action on the line?
We got action. Let's just keep it moving and start right with David and Conker. David is up here on 95.7 The Game, joining the conversation on Warriors This Week. Hey, David.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, let me tell you my thoughts. You know, I'm assuming Boogie comes back and he's going to fit in just fine. My thoughts are about Looney and Bell. You know, the Warriors probably would do a take back on the Ka and do it all over a little differently if they could. But Jordan Bell's going to be coming up in the same place Ka was. And I just looked. Looney has about 20 minutes a game. Bell regressed from 14 to 11 minutes. And I'm thinking Bell could really get lost in this, that the minutes that Boogie's going to take is going to come from Bell. And, you know, Bell might not be left with anything, and they're going to be looking here about 6 months from now what to do about Bell, and he's going to be restricted. Those are my thoughts. What are you guys thinking about that?
I'm not worried about Jordan Bell anymore.
He just might not be a player.
I'm not worried about Jordan Bell.
But he just might not be a part of the future.
You're right. I mean, Jordan Bell, the way I look at Jordan Bell, he's got a year and a half to show. That to show that he should be on the Warriors, to tell you the truth. He's got to prove that he's not just a guy, right?
Yes. So and it's going to be harder for him to earn valuable minutes with Cousins back.
Yeah, you're right. It's so funny how you just think, JD, and it's kind of not fair because of where they were drafted. But 3 or 4 years ago, Bob Myers, unbelievable. Curry, Clay, Harrison Barnes, plucks Draymond in the second round. This guy's a genius. This organization is this and that and the other thing. And now, McCaw, not there. Jacob Evans might not be able to play. Jordan Bell may not be a Warrior in a couple years. And now all of a sudden we're seeing some draft picks not pan out. And let's be fair, the reason they're not panning out is because they're late picks. You can't hit a home run every time. But, yeah, I mean, the Warriors, one of their problems moving forward, JD, is a lack of young difference makers. I don't see anybody on this roster under 27, whoever the youngest big four guy is, capable of being a number one or even a number two or three on a team. I see nothing but role players there at best.
And I think that's all really that you'd want.
And it's part of the design. I get it, but it's not going to make it easier 2-3 years from now.
I think there's a gap between what you're saying and what the Warriors would be fully comfortable with when you look at the way those picks have panned out. Because I think the one thing that all of those guys, whether it was Looney, and I know he was drafted really young and had injury issues, Damian Jones, Bell, even McCaw, who's no longer around. I think Jacob Evans is another one where there was a belief on draft night that all of those guys would be ready to play and contribute this year. And that wasn't just the media. I mean, Bob Myers and Steve Kerr said that about Jacob Evans.
Well, that's crazy. And I'm not saying they're crazy. And that might just be optimism on draft night. I'm not going to sit here and kind of question them, but to even think that way for any, and I remember I thought about it. Look, if this is one of the greatest teams of all time, how the hell is a 29th pick in the draft as a rookie going to play? He's not going to play. And if he is playing, something's wrong. It's like, that's the part I didn't really understand.
Well, I think in a perfect world, and this may be far too much to ask, but Jacob Evans would be ready to play Pat McCaw and Alphonse. He would be ready to be the guy that is kind of that Livingston Iguodala
right now
insurance piece. Well, assuming he was a guy that was ready to play his rookie year, that's the best case scenario. The best case scenario is he'd be ready to step in and play 15 minutes a game.
But even that,
I mean, there's rookies that do that. Now, usually they're not second-round picks or late first-round picks.
I'm glad you said that. All right, so Jacob Evans was 28. You want to go 20 through 30?
Yeah, let's do it.
Josh Okogie.
Okay, he's playing.
A little. Minnesota. He's playing a little. Grayson Allen, he's not playing in Utah. Chandler Hutchison, I don't care if he's playing in Chicago or not. Aaron Holiday, I don't think he's playing much. Moritz Wagner, Landry Shamet. Now, he had a good game the other night. Robert Williams, he's been hurt a lot of the year. Jacob Evans, I can't even pronounce this guy's name, Musa from Brooklyn. And then Amari Spellman, he is on the Atlanta Hawks, plays a little bit. But it's the Hawks. What I'm saying is nobody's jumping out. There's nobody jumping out here. I mean, the best...
Okogie.
The best worst pick, it's obvious who the best pick was. Right now, the best value pick is obvious on this draft board. Kevin Huerter. Red Velvet.
Where was he?
19.
Okay.
19 he was drafted. And if you don't know who Red Velvet is, you better Google it, because we got ourselves a player.
Chilton Auto Body text line 480-480, so Arizona chiming in. You guys sound way too impatient with these young guys. I'm not being impatient. You're not being impatient.
I don't know. I'm being a little... I'm not being impatient. I'm just... It's unrealistic to expect that these guys are going to contribute a lot more than they have.
All I'm saying is it was mentioned on draft night that there was a thought that Jacob Evans could play.
Absolutely.
And Jordan Bell could play a year ago.
You know what? Hey, let me... What the 408 means is that we're not giving him enough chance yet in the NBA to establish themselves.
Well, sure. Of course not.
He's right about that. And I'm not giving up on him. I'm not giving up on those guys. I just don't...
Kevon
is there a
Looney
star among them?
Kevon Looney and Damian Jones are reasons to not give up on guys, because Kevon Looney looked like he might not be able to contribute at all, and now he's able to contribute as a regular rotation piece, and he's going to be a regular rotation piece even when Cousins comes back.
Could you imagine if Looney didn't re-sign? They'd be in a little trouble.
They also would have had to have added somebody else. Who? I don't know.
That's true. They might have been able to add somebody even better.
Gene in Oakland on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Gene.
Hey, morning, fellas. Steiny, you know, I'm usually aligned with you and what you say, but the whole idea of bringing Green off the bench, I disagree with
you. I said it was a hot take. Come on, Gene. Listen. Okay. You're gonna get your shot. I just said I had a crazy idea, and it's not unusual that the best five guys don't always start. Would I do it? No.
Yeah. Well, it gets me to why I think he's having an off year.
All right.
Obviously, he had the injury, and that affected him even after he came back. But I think the other reason is he's been asked to do too much. He's spread too thin. He has to be their rim protector and guard the perimeter.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think that the only time you should play him at center is when they've got the death lineup in there, you know, and they do that sparingly, right, at the end of games to secure them. In the playoffs, they use them quite a bit. But beyond that, I agree with you, JD. Excuse me. Once Cousins, comes back, or they get another center in case Cousins doesn't work out. I'm losing my voice. keep him in the lineup.
Thanks, Gene.
Thanks for the call, Gene.
Appreciate it. We'll let you rest that voice up.
I mean, Cousins should be able to provide some relief for Draymond. There's no doubt about that. At least guarding big fellas.
I think he will.
I do, too.
I think he definitely will. Is it Lida? Or Lydia? Lida? Lida.
Got to be Lydia.
Lida.
Lida.
Lida, you're on 95.7 The Game. Lida going once.
Just real quick, I like to think of, having played some basketball, that there's some players who are great on the ball and there's great players who are great off the ball. And so I think of, integrating Boogie. I like him off the bench. I like, kind of the Warriors having another facet to them where they kind of slow it down and kind of grind you away, because a lot of the other reserves, you know, are best off the ball, you know, kind of slashing to the basket, you know, stuff like that. So I'd just like to hear you guys' take on that. What's your thoughts? Thanks.
I
You got it. Thanks, Lita.
Why don't you handle this? You know Cousins better than anybody.
I don't think Cousins would take to coming off the bench, and I don't think he would. Look, he's not the kind of guy that can. He couldn't fake not being upset about it. Is probably the best way to explain it. You know how, you know, maybe sometimes your boss gives you some news. He's like, "Hey, we're gonna have you do this today," and you're like,
"Yeah, that happened the other day."
And you're upset.
My show was shot,
and you're upset with it, right? You don't want to do it, but you try. Okay, yeah,
right,
no problem.
Right.
But and you can hide it,
like Cousins.
For
like,
the most part,
like
you can
Curry,
hide it. But
with this substitution in the fourth quarter.
But sometimes you can't hide it, and Cousins is the kind of guy that wouldn't be able to hide it. If it upset him, he would be like, you know, not working. You'd just know.
I think so too.
That it's bothering him, even if he says, "Oh, it's fine, I'll do it."
I think so too. From the 415, if Cousins looks good, and this is the $1 million question, does Iguodala lose his role at the close of games?
Possible. We'll get to that momentarily. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. It's Warriors This Week. It's John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz. We're with you for another 3 hours here on 95.7 The Game. Tim Roy's going to join us coming up at 10:30 before the Warriors head to Dallas from the Bay Area. Two things I wanted to get to. Lida.
Well,
I was told it was Lida.
Well, the 415 says it's pronounced Lida. Like Lida Rose from the Music
Man.
Well,
that's what okay.
But no, Guru. JD.
Guru.
I don't know if you know this about me. I'm pretty good at musicals. I wouldn't say I'm an expert on musicals, but my sister did a lot of musical theater, and my daughter does a lot of musical theater. I don't even remember Lida Rose from Music Man. I remember Henry Hill, of course, the Traveling Salesman. I don't remember Lida Rose. Maybe. Yeah, that's interesting. Anyway, Chris was saying it's Lida.
Well, it looked like Lida on the screen, but then I was told in my ear it was Lida.
You know, I'm very sensitive to people. I try to pronounce people's names the right way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's important,
I'm a stickler for that.
Yeah.
It's a little pet peeve of mine when I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can't get on the same page to do it right. No, 100%. If you're, it's like if you're writing an article, you better spell the name right. If you're speaking the name on the radio, you better say it right.
Exactly. That's why the other day somebody came down my road, said it's not Jonas Jerebko, it's Jonas. No, he says he doesn't care. He said it didn't matter to him.
He doesn't mind being a Jonas brother.
Exactly. Same with, I guess, Iguodala. I guess technically it's Iguodala, not Igwa. So I guess maybe I pronounced that one slightly wrong, but I could certainly change that to Iguodala.
I want to go back to Lita's point because I don't think we ever answered the question. I mean, in a roundabout way, I don't think Cousins would be happy coming off the bench unless he's given every opportunity to start and start and start and start and it becomes obvious that it's not clicking and it would be better.